Hi, friend, and welcome to the Unapologetic Entrepreneur Podcast, a place for passionate entrepreneurs just like yourself who are looking to create a business that integrates into your life instead of taking over it. So let me ask you something. How would it feel to unapologetically chase your definition of success? See, I'm on a mission to do this, and I want you to come along with me in becoming an unapologetic entrepreneur. This is someone who has defined success on their terms and is committed to setting boundaries and making progress towards achieving that success. I'm your host, Amanda McKinney, and after several years of entrepreneurship, I found myself chasing someone else's definition of success, and I actually couldn't answer the question, what does success look like for you, Amanda? This started me on a journey to understanding this answer for myself, and I now understand that our definition of success, it evolves over time. But the key is to always know what our definition is in each season of our life. And on this podcast, I am dedicated to exploring how other entrepreneurs have shown up unapologetically and sharing my journey, of course, too. So pop in those earbuds so we can explore topics such as success, goals, mindset, of course, marketing, and money. You will walk away inspired through stories and ready to take action through clearly defined steps. So let's dig in. Hi, friend. Today's episode is not only going to inspire you because of the story you're going to hear, but it's going to have you laughing too. My guest today is a shoot it straight, honest, and hilarious type of person. I met her earlier this year, and my life has truly been enriched by knowing her. She's so kind, generous, and truly wants you to live your best life. We met earlier this year when she interviewed me for her podcast, and I immediately felt a great connection, and luckily she did too, so we've become fast friends, and even have met up in person to attend an event together. I don't know about you, but for me, it's not often for me to meet someone online and actually meet them in real life within the same year, but it happened for us, and it was just so lovely, and she was just as lovely and lively in person. So she and I attended the Summit of Greatness together in September, and it's an event that I'll never forget. And as we sat there and listened to so many inspirational messages, I was not only lifted up by those speakers, but also those who sat next to me and around me and those that I had conversations with. And all of that was possible because my guest today invited me to this event and was so generous with her energy. She introduced me to people that she knew, and she told other people about my business and my podcast and my book, and everyone I met through her raved about how she did the exact same thing about them. So it was just one of those really interesting and super fun experiences where I got to meet a lot of people and see the impact that she's having on so many people's lives. And I would say that she truly embodies the idea of lifting others up because when the tide rises, all boats rise together. And she lives this. I can see it in her. You can see it when she connects with other people. And I'm just so thankful that I've connected with her. And now you get to hear from her today as well. And in this conversation, we talk about entrepreneurship, of course, and protecting your mental health. And she does not sugarcoat it in terms of entrepreneurship being really tough, but equally so when you have a strong vision for yourself and your business and you believe in yourself, many things are possible. And it was her belief and perseverance that allows her to tell her story of going from near burnout in a corporate job to shifting and starting her own therapy practice, and then getting down to the last $25 in her bank account. It's such a powerful story. I mean, she really got down to the wire, and then things started to turn around because she continued to persevere. And now she can say that she has a seven-figure business that consists of multiple therapy locations. She has a team of 17. And most of all, when you think about a team of 17 therapists, you think about how many lives they are impacting. And the ripple effect is real, but it all started because she took a chance on herself. So the overall message we talk about is that entrepreneurship sure is tough. And so we talk about that a lot, but it's really worth it for those who really want it. And she is a great example of this. And all through this conversation, we talk about protecting your mental health because of the toughness. And it was so nice to have her talking about this because of her background as being a therapist and an entrepreneur. So let me tell you a little bit more about her today. My guest is Christy Pennison. She's a board-certified counselor, a seven-figure business-building entrepreneur, the host of the Inspiring Possible podcast, and the founder of Be Inspired Counseling and Consulting in Louisiana. She has coached and advised dozens of leaders, mental health professionals, and business owners from across the country and helped them grow and deal with the many challenges they face. And due to her knowledge and leadership, she is highly recognized by other professionals in the field. And as a result, she was awarded the 20 Under 40 Leadership Award. And in addition, she has been a guest on the Montel Williams podcast, Free Thinking, and her expertise has been regularly featured in articles on NBC, Today, and many other media outlets and publications. She is passionate about empowering mental health professionals and women in leadership to live with confidence, conviction, and limitless belief that anything is possible. And she's done all of those things that I was able to list. She's done all of those things while also raising a lovely daughter as a single parent. And so she gets it. When she shares this story, you're going to feel it, and you're going to feel that she's dealt with challenges. And she's done it all because she's put one foot in front of the other. It's a very inspiring story, and I can't wait for you to listen to it. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's hear from Christy. Hey there, I promise to get you back into the episode soon, but someone that I trust inside my business has a special offer for you, and I can't let you miss it. See, I waited way too long to hire support in my business because I was nervous about investing financially and trusting someone. But now I have someone I will vouch for 100%, and I'd love for her to support you too. My right-hand lady, Jess, took over managing my calendar, landing me on more than 40 podcast and guest speaking opportunities when I was promoting my book. And she helped me navigate countless decisions over the past year. But the very first step was a single clarity call that helped me take quick action. And her clarity calls are typically $137, but she's offering them to my audience for free. She wants to help you get unstuck. Instead of Googling to find answers, book a call with Jess and let her relieve your biggest business headache. To get the special deal, all you have to do is go to jugglinglogistics.com/Amanda and book your call. I trust Jess with my business, and I know she will help you too. So go to jugglinglogistics.com/Amanda to book your free clarity call today. You're going to love her. Okay, let's jump back into the episode. Christy, thank you so much for being here today. I cannot wait to dig into all the good stuff.
Woohoo! I'm excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. So before we jump into all the things, I would love for you to share a little bit about what you do, your business right now. Give us the snapshot of like what's happening now so then we can go back and see how you got there.
Man, you know what? That is, I really need to think about this question, what do you do, right? Because it's one of those questions that you could answer it a lot of ways because, you know, as a multi-passionate person, you can do a lot of things. So it's like, how do I explain what I do? Well, I'll tell you the mission of what I do, and that is to inspire hope for change to help individuals of all ages move forward and live fully. And how does that play out? Well, I am a group therapy practice owner. I'm also a therapist. I am a podcaster, aspiring speaker, and all-around optimist that we can create possibilities for our lives.
I love that. And your podcast is phenomenal. And that's one thing that is, maybe we'll jump right there first and then we'll come back to your business overall. But you recently launched your podcast and I just love it. I love that it's, you know, it's all about possibility and the possibility of creating this life that we love and not being stuck in what we are currently experiencing. And so you have shared with me before we hit this record button and in other conversations that you've thought about this podcast for years before starting it. What gave you the courage to like hit that record button and then hit that publish button? Because I remember how terrified I was.
Yeah, you know, Amanda, I'm like the queen of stuck, and that's why it's my mission to help people that really feel stuck realize that there are other options and possibilities. And sometimes when we are so stuck, we can't find our way forward. But for the podcast, you know, it was on my heart. I had wrote it down in some notebook, maybe actually whenever I went to the conference that me and you're going to be going to later on this year, the Summit of Greatness. I just remember, what is something, the presenter asked, what is something that hurts your heart that you could be super passionate about that if you could just talk about it for days, what would it be? And I think for me, you know, our stories play a large part in what we're passionate about. And there was a time in my life, a few times in my life, that I felt really overwhelmed, stuck, just didn't know how to move forward. And I didn't think that possibilities were for me. I saw other people doing things, and I had still achieved a pretty good amount of cool things in my life, but there was always a ceiling that I thought, okay, this is what the possibility is for my life. I could have never imagined my life being where it is right now. I'm a single mom, had a bunch of rescue animals, and I just thought that I was going to live a life where I worked a 9-to-5 job and I had good benefits. And if I had a good salary, then that was good enough. And although I will say for a lot of people, that is great enough. But for me, right, there was just something that was like, I felt like I wanted to do more. And so I had an idea of like, okay, wouldn't it be cool if I was able to share how to create possibilities with people? But 3 years ago, I'll be honest with you, or 4 years ago, or whenever it was this idea was birthed, I wasn't ready to be able to really share a story or share my own story because there were still possibilities I hadn't created for my own life. So I think part of the not getting off the ground was not having the time, resources, or really the clarity of what it was that it was really, or how it was really going to look and how did I want it to make an impact on the world. But over 3 years and going through my own uncertainty, my own struggles of building a business from ground zero to what it is today, which I know we'll talk about in a little bit, like that was the fuel to help me realize, okay, there is a message that I need to get out into the world. And I always say, if I can do it, I feel like other people can too. I'm this small town girl from Ball, Louisiana. Nobody knows where that's at on the map because unless you've got a speeding ticket going too fast through there, you'd miss it. It's like one of those towns you blink and miss in rural Louisiana. And I just always had this notion of what my life was going to look like. And where I'm at now is not what it was. Not what it was. This was not a dream that I ever thought possible. And so I think part of taking 3 years to actually get it off the ground was being able to find the space and time and then make a commitment to show up and do it. But I actually got it done, Amanda, through doing my own workbook. So I have a workbook called Dream It, Write It, Do It. And at the beginning of the year, I knew I was going to go present at a conference later that year. And I'm like, okay, I need to actually do my own stuff. I cannot be a liar to these people and say, like, you can do this, just follow this, like, workbook and figure out what your goal is. And so I did the workbook, and it helps you gain clarity on what's the one thing that you feel would make the biggest impact on your life right now. And I landed on podcast. And I declared a date. I figured out all the things that it would take me to do it. But there was a place that I got stuck. And that was recording the first episode, like you said.
It's terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was like, oh, I told everybody I'm going to release a podcast on 3/23/23. I declared it to social media. Everybody was super excited. They're like, woohoo, we support you. And I just did not get that first episode recorded for the longest time.
It's so scary. It's so scary, and I just really love so much of the twisty-turniness that happened in that story. I'm sure it wasn't fun to navigate it all the same, like as you were going through it, but that idea of that question of what hurts your heart. Like if you could share something, what would that be? That is like goosebumps worthy, right? Like I can just imagine you sitting in that room and writing down on a notebook and
crying.
Now here you are. Right. Like here you are, like this is what's hurting my heart. Oh my gosh, and you don't know what's on the other side of that dream. You just know that that's on your heart. And then fast forward 3-4 years later and you have this incredible podcast. And I think sometimes I'll raise my hands here and say, sometimes we want something really fast. So you write it down on this piece of paper in your journal, crying at this conference, right? You write it down. And even though you don't know all the answers, if you're anything like me, it was like, I want it like yesterday. Like that's
me all the time. I have an idea and I'm like, I put it down on a piece of paper and I'm like, yes, this should happen tomorrow.
Right. But I love that you were so honest and open about like, first of all, you weren't ready to do it. Second of all, I don't know, again, I'm speaking on my own behalf here. I remember thinking, I should start a podcast. I think I'm going to do this thing. I didn't know a dang thing about podcasting.
Me neither.
When that moment happened. So I had to do a lot of understanding of like, what do I need to do here? I don't even know what I don't know about podcasting. And so it's not like I could have actually launched my podcast the day after I thought about it. I had to do some thinking and learning about those things. And so I love that you had not only that, but the clarity to know it wasn't even the right time for you to be speaking on that topic. You just knew you wanted to speak on that topic. So you gave yourself the time to do that.
Yeah, and I think there are dreams we have that I think we should act on them immediately, because I am a act on a vision or a dream when the timing is right. But I do think there are some things that you put on a shelf and in front of you. You don't want to like put it buried like behind me. There's like tons of books. You don't like bury it right between everything. But you want to put it on a shelf where you can see it and say, I have this on my heart. I feel like I'm supposed to do this, but I need to trust that when the time is right, I will step into that. And of course, like you said, it takes figuring out like, hey, what microphone do I need to get? Or what dashboard do I need to, you know, how do you even distribute a podcast? Like all these things.
Right.
At the time, 3 or 4 years ago, I didn't have the money to do this. You know, side note, if you want somebody to edit things and all that stuff, it like costs money. And if it's a passion project of yours, like you have to have the things to be able to support that. And then, like you said, then you have to have the encouragement to get it done. And so actually what helped me record the first episode was some friends of mine who had podcasts that asked me if I'd recorded the first episode. And I was like, no. And they're like, well, what's stopping you? And I'm like, I just don't want to hear myself talk. And they were like,
yes,
you need to do it as soon as we get off of this Zoom call. And that's how it got started. So sometimes you need encouragement and accountability, but sometimes there are right timings for dreams. And then there's sometimes like, you just have to wait. And I honestly don't think that you learn a lot about yourself while you're waiting. And then when you get to the period of when you feel like, okay, now is the time, if you look back, you realize, oh, that's the reason why I hadn't done it yet. It makes perfect sense now.
It does. That whole hindsight's 2020 thing is real. And it's one of those, like, I needed to learn these lessons along the way. And we all hit hard times. Before we were recording this, you know, interview with each other, I was telling you like, oh, it's a little bit of a hard day. It's a little bit of a hard season right now. And you were so encouraging and so just inspiring, right? About, you know, we all hit those points. And then when you, if you could fast forward the tape, like if you could just whoop, hit a little button and fast forward, you'd look back and be like, oh, that's exactly why it took that long. I had to learn X, Y, Z. And most of the time, especially for us in the service industry that are helping others, so often we need to learn a lesson so that we can help other people. And that's exactly what you did with the podcast of like, you needed to learn some lessons. So now you can speak life and inspiring moments into other people's lives.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm at a place right now where every time you grow a little bit more, you realize how much you have to grow internally to be able to do the external stuff. And so even for me, like, I feel like, wow, I have came a long way if I really stop and think about it, right? I just had a talk with one of my close friends who I hadn't talked to in a while. And she was like, Christy, I was just remembering when you said you were moving back here and this is what you said you were going to do and you took this risk and where you are today. But still, if I want to go a little bit further, I can only grow or go as much as I'm willing to do the internal work. Because what happens is, yes, we all have a brain that wants to stop us or tell us all the things of why this may not work. I mean, before I launched the podcast, I thought, nobody is going to want to listen to this. Like, or if they do, hopefully one person will. And what was crazy is after I put it out there, I had people that I like went to high school with come up to me at a restaurant and be like, Christy, I've been listening to your podcast. And I was like, what? You're listening to that? I'm like, that's so amazing. But there's like part of your head that just really will always want to stop you, which is why you really need to be able to be aware of those things so that you can challenge them or have people around you like what we were just talking about. We have to encourage each other. That'll speak life to you and say, mm-hmm. hey, I have been there. The struggle is real. I have wanted to give up. I mean, it's so funny. I was talking with somebody the other day and they're like, I feel like you probably don't have bad days or you maybe never question stuff. And I'm like, listen, there are some days where if I'm not in a good place, I'm like, I just want to burn everything that I've created to the ground yes. and go on a small island and escape. Okay. But that's just a day. It doesn't mean that it's how I feel all the time. And I think we have to almost have a so clear vision of where we want to go. And we have to kind of almost, I don't want to say fall in love because that's kind of cheesy, but like we have to really, really, I guess, connect with the idea of who do we want to become in this process too. So it's not always the outcome of what do I want to create, but like, who's the person I want to become on this journey? Because I think a lot of people can get focused on like, this is what I want to create, and they lose themselves in the process.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, it's so easy to do, I think. Maybe it's not easy for everyone. It would be very easy for me to do that because of the, okay, Amanda's really goal-driven. I'm going to do the thing on the task list no matter what. You know, it's like one of those things. I think a lot of people that operate in that way are just on to the next thing. And so you can be 15 years down the road, 3 months down the road, however long it is. And it's like, huh, who is this person? I have no idea what's happening here, even though you were the active participant the entire way.
That's right. Well, and that's why I think you really have to, I'm reading some books right now. So these thoughts are not always in my mind, but I'm reading a lot of books right now about like, how do you make sure that you actually can enjoy this journey and not lose yourself or get burned out in the process? Because whenever you're striving for something more, striving to create this vision that you have, there is a real risk of focusing so much on the striving that you forget to actually enjoy life in the process along the way. And so it's how do you stay grounded and connect to what gives you life and you what you love while you're also trying to create a vision.
I love that. Can you send the book list that you're reading so I can include all of that in the show notes?
I will. Yeah, there's like a few books I'm like reading that I feel like it's just speaking to me right now that I'm like, okay, I get it. Take a break. Relax. Exactly. Lean into creativity, allow for opportunities for inspiration, you know, make sure you're doing things to ground yourself during the day. And when you're when you're a goal-oriented person, all the to-dos and doing the things come so naturally that when you sit, you're like,
it's awful.
I should not be just sitting. There is 5,000 things I should be doing right now. Why am I just sitting on my front porch, meditating and looking at the tree? This makes no sense.
Like, I could not feel this more. Mm-hmm. It is one of those things, it's a characteristic in some of us that is like, it is so hard for me to slow down and to stop. It is so hard. And I wish it wasn't that way. I mean, there's pros and cons to everything. So the pro is I can get things done. I can focus on something. I can move the needle forward in my business. Like these are great things that come from that. Also, I literally have to have it on my task list to go take a break, to walk away from the computer, to actually just stop working. Like that's a very difficult thing for me to do. Sounds like it is for you too.
Yeah, and it is for me.
It's really hard. Like again, you and I are going to go to this event and it's like, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring my laptop. I'm going to be doing all these things. And I'm like, I'm going to bring my laptop. Let me be clear about that because I'll be taking notes. But at the same time, I'm saying it to you. So this is accountability at its
best. I'm holding you accountable, girl.
Here we are. I want to enjoy that event more than focusing on like, oh, I got to check my email. I got to get that thing out. Got to whatever. Like, however I can set myself up for success.
The event actually will allow you to be more creative and come show up and get this stuff done.
Right.
But it's so counterintuitive. But look, you're going to laugh, Amanda. I remember I was presenting to a group of women once and I was telling them this, like, do you have trouble slowing down and like you just feel like you're doing all the time and you have trouble taking breaks or just relaxing? And I remember I thought everybody else was the same.
Yeah.
And then there was one lady that was in the group and she's like, No, I have no problem doing that. I can sit on my couch and I'm like,
I need to take her to lunch.
I know. I'm like, I need you to help me. Okay.
I know. I've heard that from several people. I can't remember what. There was a podcast I was listening to, a really famous person. I wish I could remember so I could say the person's name. And someone asked her, like, how have you been able to do this? Like, always having time for rest. And she said, my mom always prioritized rest. And I would see her reading a book and just slowing down. And I thought, oh my gosh, that what an impact that is. I'm not trying to throw shade at my mom. My mom's a very active and busy person. So I grew up seeing a very active and busy person. And so I don't think it's a huge surprise that I am very similar in that. And it's harder for me to do that because I didn't necessarily see it. Again, I'm not trying to be mean to my mom because she's great, but I think we see that in our environment and that can really impact us.
Well, and you know what I'm learning for myself. So hopefully if you are like listening to me and Amanda and you're like, yes, that is so me. Please know you are not alone.
You are not.
But you know, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is like, how do I put the things on my calendar first that give me life, that recharge me, that are, you know, whether it be exercise, whether it be going for that walk, whether it be trying a painting class or going to yoga, I don't know. Because mm-hmm. so often I will put those things after I put all of my weekly responsibilities that have been scheduled out for, you know,
right.
Who knows how long they've been scheduled. But instead, I really want to figure out how to flip the switch and be able to actually put those things that are recharging for me first on the list and then build out the schedule around it. Because, and not everybody has that ability, but I think when you intentionally prioritize the things that ground you, that help you reflect, that help you recharge, then the more sustainable it's going to be to create anything you want to create. Right. But it's like putting those boundaries on your time to say, you know what? I know this to-do list is, you know, priority and it feels really urgent. But what's really priority is me taking care of myself so that I can continue to do this to-do list.
I love that, flipping the script. And I'm immediately remembering going to like a Stephen Covey event of some sort because so this is taking me back to the corporate days. And I was like, I clearly have a time management problem. Like I self-diagnosed, I have a time management problem because I'm not getting all these things done. Turns out there were too many things on the dang list to begin with. So
the expectations of what we think can get done in a certain amount of time and the reality is like way too different things.
So that was that. But I went to my boss and I was like, look, I found this event and it was a Stephen Covey, like leadership type of an event. And I was like, it's time management focused. Like, I really think I should go to this. I really thought I had this massive problem with time management. And come to find out, I actually do have a lot of good habits that were built in along the way at some point. But the one thing that really stuck out was what you were just talking about. And I think everyone, if you haven't seen this, like you can look it up on YouTube really quickly. It's like this jar. And the instructor was like, okay, if you try and fill the jar with sand and then put the rocks in, you know, like you're not going to have enough space for the rocks. But if you put the rocks in first and then you dump the sand will fill in around the rocks. And he was really focusing on what are the rocks? What are the priority things? Because the other stuff is going to fill in the gap. And so that sand can kind of like filter in. And what came out of that, which has helped me so much in entrepreneurship, little did I know I was going to start a business, was email, checking my freaking email inbox is the sand, but I totally thought it was a rock. And it was like, it would rule my day because I was always constantly checking my email inbox. I don't know what it is for everyone else, but there was something, usually when we think we have a time management problem or something feels off, it's like you're making a rock. You're making something that's sand into a rock. And so it's like derailing everything. So that was the visual of you like prioritizing, like the rock is you, right? Prioritizing what grounds you as an entrepreneur so that you don't get burnt out. Because I mean, we enter entrepreneurship, specifically as like accidental entrepreneurs, because we have some sort of a passion and we're like, I want to do this thing. This is on my heart. What you said at the beginning, like this is something. And when it happens that way, it could take over our complete life because we love it. It's not just a job.
I mean, I seriously used to say I could be a workaholic, okay? Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to all my business. I feel like I've always been that way, though, no matter even if I was working for somebody else. But I could definitely do that. Thank God I had a child that, like, required something of me and rescue animals because I realize my ability that when I'm really passionate about something, to just dive really deep. But there is a point, it says, at what cost? Because I know that after a certain time, if I keep doing this, like the other day I responded to an email. I should not have been responding to an email at this time of night. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and say that. But I thought I had a wave of energy. So I'm like, let me do this. So I have a wave of energy. Emailed somebody I had already emailed that I completely forgot that I emailed, you know, about something that I'd already asked them to do. And then I, as soon as I pushed the send button, I was like, oh, Christy. Yep. Why? And so then I had to send another email.
Right.
And said, hey, I'm so sorry. You're probably confused as to why you're getting this. You got those other emails. This is why I'm human and scatterbrained. Mm-hmm. But it just reminds me on those moments that it's like, okay, why did you feel like you had to do that at that time? Mm-hmm. You could have waited. You know, in the morning, you're a little bit more sharper and clearer. Yes. You know, why couldn't you just give yourself that space? So I think it's just, you know, we're all learning ourselves, especially through entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. If you are an entrepreneur or an aspiring one, you self-development 101, okay, is become an entrepreneur. Yes. Because everything about your character, anything about your personality, any like, honestly, if you have unresolved trauma or triggers you've never been aware of, this is me as a therapist and as entrepreneur speaking, it is all going to come up. So you're going to have to do a lot of internal work and give yourself space to move through this because it's going to come up. And every time I feel like you get to a new level of what I call up-leveling where you're like, okay, I've reached this mountaintop. And then you're like, what mountain do I want to climb now?
Right.
Because, you know, most entrepreneurs are multi-passionate and it's like, it's not good enough to just climb the one mountain. You got to make a whole nother mountain range that you got to explore. And so, which is awesome because you're realizing like, wow, if I create a vision, I can maybe create something from this vision, which is amazing. But it's like, okay, well, did you restock your food to get to the mountain range? Like, did you like take some time to get water? Like, did you prepare? So I think it's always making sure that every next step that you're taking into your dream or vision is you have to take just as much time to work on the stuff inside of you that may be limiting you from continuing to go forward.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you're so right about that. I mean, it all comes up. It was very clear of like the tendencies I have, the faults, you know, like the things that's like, oh, that's not going to work out so well. And I have no team. Like when you first start, it's like, I have no team to fall back on. All decisions are mine. And therefore all success can be, you know, I can be praised for all the success. I can also be blamed for all of the failure. Like that's what comes with this is like, there's really no one else until you have a team. And even then you hired that team. So
that's right.
It's like, you're all in it. And it comes with a lot of feelings. As compared to like I remember being in corporate and you'd sit in a meeting and I don't know if you remember like had these experiences, which is terrible, but it's reality of what happens is like one person quits or fired or something. And as soon as they're not in the room, everything that went wrong was that person's fault.
Yeah, it was their leadership style. They didn't do this. Man, they're really terrible at this, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, unless they were just a person loved by all that were like, man, we really miss that person.
Yes.
If there was a reason that they were, let go. Or
they are
whatever,
the scapegoat like,
I told
for
them.
Everything. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like something happened. So I'm very aware that I was that person when I left corporate. So they were like, it was Amanda. She did it all.
It was Amanda.
Yes. It's all my fault. It worked out fine. So I want to talk about really quickly, because I know we've talked about so many great things, but one thing that we haven't touched on is how you started your business, and I'm going to give you the kudos, because I know sometimes it's really odd to like say, this is what I did, but girl, you went from, I am scared I will have no money in my bank account, to a seven-figure business. And it's not like it's been 15 years here. You've done this in a relatively short amount of time. And so it's pretty amazing. And I love that we've talked about keeping yourself healthy and, you know, focusing on yourself. But I also want to dig into, like, you did that. You started that business and it was probably really scary.
Well, and that might be, is probably glad that we've talked about all this health and stuff, wellness and like taking care of yourself and the inner work. Because the reality was, is that I did work for a it actually turned into a corporation. At one point it was not a corporate job, for a mental health, home and community-based mental health program. And I was at a place where I was so burnt out. But like I said earlier in this podcast, I just, as a single mom, single income, I just thought, okay, the life, what I can aspire to is having a decent salary with benefits and working my 9 to 5. Like, that is what I can aspire to. If I've made a decent salary, then I have made it in the therapy world, because that's what I went to school for, become a licensed counselor, and I could still do good and I could still make a living and support me and my child. But as all things happen, things shifted within the organization, and my values and the organizational's values just weren't aligned as much as they used to be. And it created so much conflict within. I'm talking about inner turmoil, okay? Mm. That's the word. I was stressed out. I was burned out. I'm normally a happy person in general. Like, you know, the sky is normally blue. It's not gray. It's just the way that I see the world. But I was complaining. I was not having good boundaries on my time. I was bringing my work home. I was not being present for my child. I was becoming a version of myself that I did not like. But I clinged so heavily to the fact that this is a really good income. You have benefits. You have security. Mm-hmm. You should stay here. But it was actually a podcast that started to help me shift my mindset. Like, what if there's more? What if I don't have to do this? Like, I just thought to myself at that point, I have to have a break. I cannot let this job, like, I'm here to help others and support other people's mental health. If my mental health is about to be in serious jeopardy because of this job, then I'm being a hypocrite, and I just don't want to live life that way. It's not worth my life. And I remember I was afraid, but the limiting belief that was holding me back was like this benefits thing. And what's crazy is me and my daughter are healthy people, thankfully, and we didn't even need like necessarily health insurance for a specific reason. It was just something in my mind that you had to have.
Yeah.
And so I remember the first step was just asking a question around this limiting belief to say like, okay, well, let me just call somebody and ask and see like, what would it be like if I pay for my own insurance? Mm-hmm. And guess what, Amanda?
What?
I found out that I was actually going to be paying less.
No.
A month. Yes. Yes. This fear that was holding me back. I was like, you will be paying less a month with this type of plan insurance for you and your child. And I was like, wow. So that was a turning point for me, because I started to challenge the thoughts in my head that had held me back from making a change. And I remember I left that job, or I leapt out of it, and I went to another job for a little bit of period of time that was more of a contract job. Mm. And it was not even a full-time contract job. So I just, but I knew I needed a break. And in that year, it gave me the space to like do things creatively. Like, I remember I started blogging just for the fun of it.
I love it.
And I like did workshops to learn about myself. And I even started going to a small business like workshop on Tuesday nights that one of the local small business associations were putting on. And I learned things like accounting. And at the time, I really thought I may would start a business, but it would be a side hustle and it would be an online business. That was the direction I was thinking in my head, if I was going to do anything. Like, it wasn't going to be, let's change your whole life and go towards an idea. But I came home to my hometown. I was living in a different city at the time. And I remember a few things happened. I had went to a funeral. I went to my friend's young daughter's 2-year-old's birthday party. And I went to a crawfish boil because that's what we do here in Louisiana when it's like, you know, in the spring. We like throw crawfish on the table and go at it. And I just remember thinking to myself, I had this idea that seriously came like a light bulb from up above, okay? And it was like, maybe I should start a counseling practice here. And all I did was do a Google search to see if I could find, at the time I did children and adolescent counseling. So I was like, is there a child and adolescent therapist that I can find really readily on Google? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find anybody. And I remember I went home to my mom's house that night and I could not sleep. And I am a person that sleeps very well. Okay. I normally, luckily, do not have any sleep problems. I go to sleep at night, I fall asleep. And that's good. But I was so restless. And I'm like, why is this idea not leaving me alone? And I got up that morning and I sat at my mom's kitchen table. And because I had been going to these like little small business classes, I wrote out everything that I thought I would need. I would wrote out what the name of it was going to be. It was like it all came to me at once. And I just wrote it down. And it's crazy because I think one thing happened there that allowed this idea to come to me. I was in a better place mentally, and I had taken time to recharge myself in that year, even though I didn't know where I was exactly going. I just allowed myself to be open to ideas, things, experiences. And I honestly, my salary that year had like been cut in half. So I wasn't like doing real great, but I was doing enough to get by, and I was recentering on life that as I knew it. And so after I wrote that thing down, I remember I still didn't think I was going to do this because I'm like, this is going to be crazy. I would have to like sell my house. I'm going to have to move my rescue dogs and my child. I don't know if she wants to leave the elementary school she was in. But I said, you know what? It just never left me. The idea never left me. So 3 months later, I sell my house. There's a whole bunch of things that went into that that was just like, I felt like the universe telling me, this is the direction you're supposed to be going. I moved back to my hometown, was able to find somewhere else to live. I remember my realtor tells me to this day, she's like, Christy, when I sold you the house and you told me what you're doing and that you didn't have any income, but you had enough to show that you could purchase the house. From the past year, she's like, I thought you had lost it. Because I'm like, I don't know how this woman's going to pay for her house note. She literally told me that later. And so I just said, you know what? I'm following this vision. And, you know, it was a slow go. I opened the doors to the counseling practice. That's what it was. And, you know, by month six, I had $25 left in my savings account or in my account in general. Okay. But right at the moment that I wanted to give up, things started to shift and change. And I just continued to follow the vision that was so clear for me. And I think that's, if you are somebody who's like, I want to do something, I want to highlight this point. Like, if you don't always have to have a clear vision, but I think the clearer your vision, the more you can hold on to it. And I also think something else about my story that just helped propel me was that I did not have a safety net. Like, this was going to happen, or I was going to have to go back to waiting tables with a graduate degree. Okay.
Right.
And that was not an option for me. And so I just kept clear on that vision of what I wanted to look like. And it was, and I was a solo show for a year. I always knew I didn't want it to be a solo show, but I also knew that I wanted to have a team. I just never knew exactly how it was going to look and how it was going to work out. But here we are 3.5 years later. It's a multi-location therapy practice in two different cities.
Amazing.
And we have about a team of, I think it's 17 right now. And it all started with me, with just a vision and a hope, and to create something that I felt not only could make impact for myself, but really for my community and the people that we serve. And what has really been incredible is not only have I been able to then work with therapists that I used to work with because they've come and joined me on my team, but to see the people that it has impacted that I either grew up with or like, you know, used to know in college, or just to see who it's served and how it's helped has been really one of the most incredibly rewarding experiences of my life.
It's so beautiful to hear. And, you know, I think I feel like I can say everyone listening to this podcast wants that. it may not be therapy. It could be a flower shop giving flowers to
That's
people.
Right.
You know, like it could be anything, but it's the, I want to see the impact that my business can make. Because typically when we go into this whole accidental entrepreneurship journey, it's like, I want to help people, whether it's a product or a service, you're trying to help people do something, feel something, experience something. And so everyone is wanting what you just described of like,
yeah,
I wanted this thing so bad that I was willing to let my bank account go to $25. Like, girl, I am sweating thinking about that. And
yeah,
that's
crazy.
A scary moment, you know?
And guess what also happened that month too?
What?
Okay, the world shut down. COVID. 6 months was also COVID. But let me tell you what happened. This is where I also think you have to be open to opportunities because and trust that I know you can't just trust. You have to do action behind trust. But like,
right.
I trust that this is going to work out. And I had actually applied for like this contractor position just for in case the wing mm-hmm. in the wings that like in the event that I needed this. And I remember right when COVID hit, when I had that $25 left, they were like, hey, we really need therapists to go to support these Walmart employees that are having to be in these distribution centers. Mm-hmm. They're scared. They still have to show up to make sure that everybody gets their grocery or gets their mm-hmm. stuff that they need. And we need somebody to go down there and do that. And because the world had shut down and that job, that honestly kind of helped save my dream, to be honest. Mm. And I went out there and I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So let's not sugarcoat some of the stuff that you have to do. I had to woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, drive an hour. I would sit there and walk around the Walmart distribution center for 6 hours for the month of April. But it was at the point that I wanted to give up that there was an opportunity that came mm-hmm. available that I said, okay, this doesn't align exactly with the vision I have, but it's going to provide me something to keep this vision alive. And as soon as that month was over, because I mean, people were needing help at this point, right?
Right.
I mean, like, it's like the floodgates opened, and by September of that year, I was adding people to my team. So just when you want to give up, I mean, I think from February to September, you know, having so much business that I needed to get help,
right?
Like, things can change. You just have to keep going.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that, because I do think that a lot of people don't think about that time frame. People will often hear about, oh, I had $25 in my bank account, but that like, well, how in the heck did you get from one to the other? And it's like, sometimes you have to take that contract side hustle thing, that side business that side gig of like, I tell people all the time, like, I am not above working at Target. Like,
That's
I will
right.
go work at Target. I will go work at Starbucks, because in my mind, like that, I always have this as a backup plan, and everyone tells me, like, don't have a backup plan. And I get it, but my security needs to know, like, I have a plan and I can do this. And it's, I know I could still run my business if I worked at Target or Starbucks. So,
yeah, my backup was waiting tables. I mean, I waited tables for 5 years. So I was like, when I was in high school and college, I'm like, you know what? I haven't done this in a while. But again, if I am like the highest educated person waiting tables, by golly, I will do it.
Yes.
And so I think you do have to think about that and realize that, you know, sometimes you do have to be open to other things to get you where you want to go. And like, even for me, I had and there was another piece of that. I did have to sell a vehicle that I had to be able to kind of float it a little bit longer too. So, I mean, there's things that you may have to part with or let go of, but letting go will then often open opportunities for you to receive. So
there's the quote. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, we often don't think about that. Like, a lot of entrepreneurship, like, there's so many rewards. It is lovely. It is wonderful. It is equally, if not more, hard.
That's right.
It is not the easiest route. It is very, very hard, very rewarding. And so, but for the people like that are jumping into it, they often, like, I sure didn't know about how hard it was. Like, I had no idea.
Oh, I didn't know nothing. I was so ignorant, but I'm kind of glad.
Same.
You know, there's sometimes ignorance is bliss. You're like, I'm glad I didn't know all this because I might not have started it.
Right, right.
But now that I know what can come on the other side of it, I mean, I'm definitely glad I'm started. But all the stuff in the messy middle before you really start to see the vision come alive is something just you have to be willing to go through. And
yes.
if you're like, no, I don't want to have any discomfort, I don't want to have to be pushed, I don't want to whatever, then maybe entrepreneurship is not for you.
Right.
But I will tell you, it could be the greatest adventure you ever go on.
It's true. And you know what? There's no shame in that. No shame at all, because entrepreneurship is not for everyone. And so if we can decipher, like, is it for me? Is it not for me? It's a win for sure. Hey there, sorry about the abrupt ending, but as you can tell, we had some technical difficulties at the end of our conversation. So you've heard me say this before, done is better than perfect. And so after this, we decided to just have Christy record a very ending part. So I'm going to let her end this conversation for us, but I'm going to wrap it all up in a bow because we got cut off like mid-sentence. But the thing is sometimes you just got to roll with it. And instead of re-recording the entire conversation or even just the end, because you know, we have busy schedules. We thought we'll just piece this together. And so this is just a kind reminder to remember that done is better than perfect. And you can do this. Like if something messes up, just roll with it and it'll all be okay. So Christy and I were just talking about how if you realize that entrepreneurship is not for you, it doesn't mean you failed. And I did not want to cut this part out of the episode because it's so important. And really, oftentimes we can think like if we find out something isn't for us that we failed at that thing, but it's quite the opposite. It means you succeeded in figuring it out. See, I work with a lot of people, and over the years, I have realized that sometimes people get into entrepreneurship because they didn't realize what was on the other side of actually needing to do the work. Because so many people will portray entrepreneurship as the passive income, you're drinking on the beach, and money's just rolling in. And that is possible. Like it's absolutely possible, but it's not possible tomorrow or right as you're starting. And so having an accurate picture of what entrepreneurship really is something I'm very passionate about because I think a lot of people get into entrepreneurship because of this idea. And it's not fair. It's not fair when you jump into something and you don't know what to expect. So that's why I'm committed to sharing the ups and the downs and conversations like this with Christy. It's important to know that it's really tough, but it's equally as rewarding, if not more, for those who are ready to put in the hard work, the dedication, and the consistency. Like it really is worth it because for those of us who do want to be entrepreneurs, we don't want the alternative of working for someone else, and we don't want the alternative. So we'll deal with the hard. You know, you've probably heard this before. Choose your hard. Entrepreneurship is hard. Working for someone else is hard. Which hard do you want? That's really what it comes down to. So if you realize entrepreneurship is not the hard that I want, that's a great thing because we need both people. And here's the thing I was thinking about is sometimes I'll be working with someone and they'll think that they failed if they realize that it's not for them. Here's the thing. You probably love aspects of entrepreneurship, but you don't love it all. So go work for an entrepreneur. Just go work for them because that's what we need. We need both people. We need the visionary entrepreneur who is like, I never want to work for someone else and this is what I want to do and I'm willing to do anything possible to make it happen. We also need people to work for entrepreneurs. Absolutely 100%. We need those people. So go work for an entrepreneur, work for a startup. There are options. It's not all or nothing. So find what works for you and be okay if it doesn't work out. But overall, what I want you to take away from Christy's story is that it is absolutely critical to take care of your mental health as you're navigating this journey of entrepreneurship. Watch out for those signs that things are not working for you and make adjustments where you can. And be sure, please, please, please be sure to get the support you need so that you can enjoy the journey. Because we talked about it so much in this conversation that it is really hard, but it's worth it for those who want it. And if you're in that camp, find the support you need so that you can find joy even in the hard times. And if you haven't done this yet, please take some time to think about what your vision is for your company and not just words on a freaking document that you've written down one time and never looked at again. Think about the true vision that you have for what you want to do. And I would challenge you to think about the question that really inspired Christy to change her trajectory of life. And it's what hurts your heart? What hurts your heart, my dear friend? That's the thing. If you can create a business about what hurts your heart and you can change lives with it, you will push through the hard. Your why will be so strong. And like Christy said, the clearer your vision is, the more you can hold on to it. This is why people talk about visualizing so much. What shirt are you wearing? Where are you living? What house are you living in? Like, all of these things can help you actually achieve the vision. So do that for your business as well. So I'm going to play Christy's ending audio so that you can hear from her, and she's going to close out the episode. But thank you for listening. And until next time, give yourself permission to protect your mental health and grace along the way. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Amanda, for having me on the podcast. If you want to connect with me, you can go to inspiringpossible.com, where you can find a little bit about me, about the podcast that I host, Inspiring Possible, or follow me on social media at Christy Pennison. I love to connect with you and support you along the journey. Until next time.